This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Rachel, thank you for joining me here on 92 Gold. I am so glad to be able to talk to you today because, unfortunately, we are approaching the one-year mark of the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2023. Gotta kind of mention that because other sources will cite 2014 Crimea as the start of it. So what I wanted to mention is since February 24th of last year, there's been a ton of developments over in Ukraine from the different things that have happened. And you were pretty much there very early on in the beginning of it, covering the refugee crisis. And then you had a chance to go back later and cover more of what's happening. So, Rachel, thank you for joining us today to be able to talk about these things. I'm really glad that we could highlight it. And I'm really excited to learn about some of the different coverage you've done. So when you look at how this started and you first going over there to cover it, what was it like and how do you think it's changed from then to now?
Yeah. Well, first, Aaron, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Going over there, you know, it was just like you said, we were boots on the ground, like relatively really quickly after troops entered into Ukraine. And, you know, there was still a lot of tension, even though we were in Poland, there was still a lot of tension. And we flew into Warsaw and we were immediately kind of taken to places where refugees were just kind of trying to get settled. And that was just like getting like their simple things that like, I don't think like I would have thought about, but like, and get like a, you know, Polish ID card, getting like, you know, access to healthcare, like where they can do that. Cash, also like housing assistance, like it was stuff like that, because I think like, honestly, it's like some of the last things you're thinking of, right? When you're trying to flee for safety, it's more of like, let me just get to safety and then I'll figure it out from there. And that was kind of the sense of what we gathered from people. But I just remember, and we'll talk about this, I guess, a little later, but I just remember so well going to the Ukraine border at the Medyka border crossing. It's kind of in the southeast part. And it's one of the few border crossings. And I remember getting there and it was so chaotic, which I know is probably not the best word to describe it, but it just felt like there were so many people moving around. People were like in all these tents, mostly like volunteers that were just in these tents, and they're handing out things like food, water, also like SIM cards for their cell phones. They're also like trying to, you know, put them in line for any like transit to the bigger cities. And then it was crazy just seeing, like, I think that's where, you know, it's like a lot of us, we were watching the news coverage almost nonstop, right? Whenever this was happening. And I remember seeing like all the, you know, mostly women and children leave. And it really like hit me, like which I know it's severe, but it really just like hit me of like how impactful and how devastating this war is that these women, they were just only able to like carry like a small child, like their child, and maybe like a backpack. And they were just saying, some of them were saying, we didn't have time to really think, like, what can we pack? And that they just kind of grabbed like a couple of things and then left their home. And some of them, it just like, they had to leave their fathers, their husbands, their boyfriends, anyone who was younger than 65, or, you know, those that just didn't want to leave. I mean, I get it, it's their home, but they were just really upset. And I think that was one of the first like moments where I just, like, my heart was like stopped almost, seeing all these small kids, seeing all these women just make these first few steps into Poland. So that was, I think, hopefully that answered your question. Yeah. That was my first, it's been like the memory that has stuck with me since. I just remember like the craziness and the chaos, because we were just there like maybe a couple weeks after Russia invaded. So to them, it was relatively calm, but to us, it was very like chaotic.
And, you know, that's a really interesting thing that I was kind of curious about, because you went over there at the beginning of the conflict and you were able to see some of these zones where refugees were transferring over from Ukraine into Poland. And then when you came back later, you had a chance to go see some of those places again. And what I was kind of curious to learn about in that situation is you witnessed kind of a mass exodus event at the beginning of this. When you came back later, Did you happen to see the same kind of transitional things happening? Were there still the same amounts of people going through it?
So short answer, no. And it was like night and day. So when we went back, we went to that same border crossing, and this was like hours after Russia launched a massive missile strike in Ukraine. This is November when we went back, and that was at that time that missile strike, one of the missiles landed in Poland, and we didn't know like if that was the missile or if it was like an Ukrainian air defense system. The feeling in Poland was crazy. Like we were all a little on edge and very tense. Like, are we gearing up for NATO to, join the war? Like we were all just kind of, there was a big question of like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And so what we did is, because we were planning to go into Ukraine basically like that morning, we instead decided to go back to the border crossing just to kind of assess the situation, because we were hearing a couple things like it was closed because of the strike. And so we really needed to kind of just figure out what was going on. So we went back there. First, it was open, and second, it was just almost like a ghost town. I remember it being really like raining and cold, but those factors, I guess, didn't really matter. It was just so crazy. It was, I think like I showed people like a comparison of what it looked like, where it was just like the sidewalk that led you to the border crossing. If you're crossing by foot, how it was just like there was no empty space. It was just full of tents and places for people to grab food and stuff. And then when we went back, it was, I think, maybe like a UN tent, and that was a United Nations tent, and that was it. And it was crazy seeing people like walking into Ukraine, and they're carrying these bags, they're carrying food, and they're saying like, yes, like they're mindful of what's happened, like with the missile strike, but that they are feeling a little bit more confident now to like go back home, even though they were saying like, we know the risks, but we feel a little bit more confident going home now rather than before, where everyone was just trying to get out to safety. So it was very different from the first time around.
Year or so reporting on this, you have had so many different opportunities to cover different stories that affect the people's lives relating to it. What I'm kind of curious about, what do you think are some of the more touching moments that you've had in some of these stories where, you've felt affected by some of the stories that people have told you?
My big one was from our first day in Warsaw, and our translator, who was fantastic, who spoke like five different languages. It was incredible. She was so talented and smart. We would not have been able to do our jobs without these translators. They were brave and so smart. So anyways, she took us to the Warsaw soccer stadium, like their professional soccer stadium, and it basically transformed into a place where these refugees were, like I said, getting like their IDs, getting their health access. And that's where I think the first moment where it like hit us, like there's so many people here. And it was because we approached this woman, and you can just tell that she's tired, but she wanted to talk. She wants to keep sharing what's happening in her home country. And she just was saying how she saw like the Russian helicopters try to land in her yard. She's heard gunshots, and she just said that she's never felt so scared for her life before, and that it took her days to get to the border. And once she's finally in Poland, which I will say, Poland really just, they're doing everything that they can to help these people. Truly, like they've been fantastic. Even when we went back for the second time, they were still doing a lot of things. But when we were speaking with them, that she was just saying that she was waiting in line, and it was a long line. It was hundreds of refugees, that she was there for 10 hours already. And that's where it hit, because I kept thinking like, we are so lucky in the US. Like, I don't ever see this ever happening to us. God forbid this ever happened to us. And I just kept thinking like, we are so lucky that, like my mom doesn't have to experience this, or my little sister doesn't have to experience this, or my friends. And I just, that's when it hit me, because she was so tired, and she just said that she left everything behind. And so I think that was the most impactful thing. But also just meeting people like along the way, them just opening up and sharing. Everyone that I met wanted to share what happened to them, and like they all just kept saying, like, please, tell your viewers to, not give up on us. Please tell the US to not give up on us. Like, we're just trying to live a life and this is happening. But the other thing that really like was impactful was like how much goodwill there is. We met people from Chautauqua County, New York. Yeah. And then I remember at the border crossing, as a journalist, sometimes you kind of just like go places without a plan. And I do that often. I hope my bosses won't be mad for listening to this. But, you go with a plan just to kind of get a sense of what's going on, right? And that's what we basically did at the border crossing. And we just kind of wanted to go see what it was like. And our first few minutes of arriving, I hear American accents. I approach them and I ask like where they're from. One of the guys says Corning, New York. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so close to our stations. I've got to talk to you. So hearing from people that are from our local communities have been really impactful. I think it shows how much people care and that they've made their way all the way from our local spots and just to help out, do their part. I think that was just also like something that was just a huge like takeaway because Aaron, you and I were just talking about, taking time off earlier and sometimes and the sacrifices that happens and these people that I've met, like they are taking time off from their own business or they're quitting their jobs and they just bought like a one-way ticket and they don't know when they're coming back home, but they're just there to help. So I don't think there's been like one story where I'm like, oh, this isn't useful. Like everyone that I've met has contributed and it's been inspiring. And it's also been heartbreaking, but it showed that like there's still a lot of people out there that want to help.
You've done some really, really amazing stories that I encourage people to go check out on our website, ErieNewsNow.com. Go to the Washington, D.C. Bureau and you can find them. Or I believe there's also stories from Ukraine on our website and people can find them there as well. But one of the things that's in relation to that that I wanted to ask and get your opinion on and kind of reference talking about this is the Ukrainian ballerina troupe that you had an opportunity to talk with last week and just kind of mention them, because if you talk about things that are, where they're kind of stepping up and making sure to keep what they're doing in the spotlight.
It was incredible. I mean, I felt so honored that I could go not only see them perform, but also to speak with them. And I told them like, I've been to Ukraine and I think that really like resonated with them. They were like, oh, so you've been like, what did you see? How was it? Because some of them all, like went back home to see their parents because their parents are like, they can't leave. Or at least like their dads, like they can't leave, or their grandfathers. So it's stuff like that, that it's like no small task. Like if it's going to keep what's happening in Ukraine in the headlines, or just people just continue talking about it, I think people from Ukraine are like willing to do anything and everything. And that's what basically they were saying is that, yes, dance is their passion and that they grew up doing it. Oh my gosh. Definitely after watching them, I was like, I need to stretch more because they're incredibly talented and they were just amazing, like artists and athletes. But they were just saying that they wanted to just use their skills to not only continue their passion, but to continue, like you said, putting the war in the spotlight. And it was just so incredible. At the end of their performance, they were holding up this, like the Ukrainian flags, and they were singing the national anthem. And like, you can just feel the energy and emotion, like not just only from them, but from the audience. Like I was, looking around, and I'm like, this is like incredible. Like we all just had chills, or at least I had chills. But yeah, I think, it's like, it's groups like that, that stand out, and they're really just trying to keep the war in the spotlight so that, they can go home and they can see their families again and, maybe continue their career as a dancer or whatever field that they're also in, but just try to get back to a normal life.
As you've had an opportunity to be back here on Capitol Hill and, covering the things relating to the legislative side of this and how that works out, how do you think that things are going to end up going as we approach this 1 year mark? Do you think that they're going to get the help that they need? Do you think that they have the help that they need right now? Where do you think we stand with that?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of factors we have to look at. One, President Biden recently He made an unannounced trip to Kyiv to visit President Volodymyr Zelensky, but also to, you know, he was saying he was there to reaffirm not only U.S. support, but also to announce like additional funding and military aid, sending in more equipment and stuff like that. These are some of the things that, like, Zelensky has said that they really need. We also know that Zelensky really wants things like fighter jets, but the U.S. has been a little hesitant on kind of signing off on those, saying that like it's not quite like easy and there's a lot of training that goes involved. So we'll see what happens as far as, so like that was interesting for one reason. One, obviously it shows that US still supports, or at least, you know, the president supports, you know, this effort, the Ukraine's effort, but also it was definitely like a big like force towards President Vladimir Putin of Russia, saying like, you know, our US president just took this like very like potentially dangerous journey into Kyiv, because that's a city that gets bombed, unfortunately, quite often. And so there is that. But then also back home, there's already been talks about this. Now that Republicans are in control of the House, there's already talks of like them trying to scale back a little bit on the military spending. And, you know, members are saying it's not because they don't support Ukraine's effort. Some of them are just saying we just need to be a little bit more mindful of where our dollars are going and how much of our dollars are going. Because, Aaron, there's already been like billions invested from the U.S., just us alone, in this war. And, you know, people are just, they're getting, I know some members, especially Republicans, are, they say that they do believe in Ukraine's right to sovereignty and independence and freedom, but that we just need to be a little bit more mindful. So this is kind of setting up a big fight, because Congress, they have the power of the purse. They're the ones that really kind of sign off on a lot of these dollars. So, you know, the president's been using this like executive privilege type thing, and that's how like some money's been going over. But I would not be surprised if that the upcoming budget talks would include Ukraine spending, just because like I know that that's been something that some members have talked about, and this is also an important time, because I know this is not the most fun thing to talk about, but you know, Congress has to approve a budget relatively soon. And so I'm going to safely assume that that's going to be talked about, maybe debated about, just because they want to be a little bit more mindful. But so there's that on like the legislative side. But other future, you know, unfortunately for this war, it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. And that's really sad. You know, we are also kind of monitoring some talks. I haven't been able to speak with members about this, but there's been a lot of talks like in the New York Times and other sources that potentially Moldova, the country of Moldova, which neighbors Ukraine, that there potentially might be an aggression towards Moldova from Russia. And so Moldova is basically kind of signaling the alarms to us, to NATO, to the world, saying, listen, like, we're hearing of an attempt, you know, of a coup d'etat, like a coup. So they're getting nervous that other countries are going to get involved. So things are definitely like, I don't want to say they're escalating, but it does not feel like it's going in a more calm direction at this point. At least that's what it looks like from the future. So we'll see, you know.
1 year anniversary, you have some specials that you've been working on that are going to be airing on Erie News Now that I'd like to be able to highlight, because they are very informative and they kind of go through a good overall review of what we've talked about. So when are those going to be airing, and where can people find them?
Yeah, so you can find them on Erie News Now in our Washington, D.C. bureau, and where they're going to air on the anniversary of the invasion, which is February 24th. So yeah, it's just, it's coming up, and I can't believe that it's been a year. You know, I think I remember right before the Russia invaded, you know, there's a lot of buildup to it, and people were like, what if they invade? What if they invade? And after they invaded, of course, it was a lot of chaos and panic. And I guess people were really hoping that it wasn't going to last this long. And I'm a little surprised that it has. So but yeah, we're going to do like kind of like a review of what we saw, which I think is really important to like remind people of the whole impact and devastation of the war. What and just what people are still dealing with, like to this day. You know, we feel like it's our journalistic duty to continue covering this crisis because it does have a huge, you know, it's important for our, you know, for people in our communities, because we do have a fairly large Ukrainian population kind of nearby. And but not only that, the humanitarian aspect of it. I mean, we're watching people suffer and cities get leveled. So it's been really sad to see. But yeah, you know, even after Russia leaves Ukraine, I don't think that's where our coverage stops. I think we really just got to take a hard look at, again, the whole devastation, the whole scope of, and the impact of this war. We are just, I cannot believe it's been a year.
Rachel, thank you for taking the time to join me today to be able to highlight these things. I'm glad that we could cover this, and I really appreciate the work that you've been doing to make this successful and happen on your end, because I mean, you took two trips to a country at war to be able to provide coverage for us, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for having me, Aaron.
Thank you for listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click contact.